Good morning. I welcome you to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks, Friday, the 19th day of March, 2021. I am David Ellis. Dennis Johnson and I are going to be with you up until 2 o'clock today. And as usual, we encourage your participation in this program. Some of you like to call, some don't, some just like to listen. But if there is something that you believe you can contribute, by sending us a message or giving us a call, by all means, do so. The number is 434-1790, and the WhatsApp number is 266-4862. Well, among the interesting things that I heard on the program during the past week was that riveting conversation between Glenn Murray and the president of NOW, Marsha Hines Lane, as it relates to this whole question of what has been happening at the Government Industrial School. That conversation spilled over into the social media because I saw some posts in recent days. One person was suggesting that given the position which has been taken by Marsha Hines Lane, that the minister should fire her from the board of the Government Industrial School because as deputy chair, she was saying too much. I suppose the alternative to that is that if you feel this strongly about a situation, then you should resign. And, you know, while I understand the governance issues associated with this matter, I think we need to put this within the context of what has happened over so many years. I saw an intervention by Maria Bradshaw from The Nation, who recounted the several stories that have been carried over the years that she herself has written about the situation facing girls in particular at the Government Industrial School. And essentially what comes through is that for all the talk, little or nothing has been done. But it really shouldn't surprise anybody because this is Barbados. This is a country that has been really punitive with people who have transgressed. And children have not been left out. It's also interesting to hear the comments that came from Faith Marshall Harris talking about the extent to which this country had signed on to treaties but hadn't incorporated these treaties into law, but more importantly, that we have left so many young people exposed. Now, come right back to this question of whether the board member should have spoken out or not, should be fired or not. I think we need to grapple with what is the substantive issue here. What is the central issue? The central issue cannot be the invasion of the privacy of the child by whoever took the picture, because what the child was undergoing was far more severe, could create more of a problem than revealing that privacy in law. So whether it's me, you, Marsha Hines Lane, or the minister, the central and most important issue should always be the child. It's not just about the rights of the child. It's how we treat a fellow Barbadian who does not have enough power to defend themselves. And I do not follow those of you who want to just see this along gender lines, because there are those of you who believe that the only reason it should be strongly defended is because it's a female involved, and therefore you are going to spring to her defense, ignoring the fact that what has been exposed before us is systemic, has been going on for a long time, and has impacted on both males and females. Now, I don't care what the government does with the report or whatever. What is more important for us is that we determine as a country that any such practices that have been indulged in recently must come to a stop. And that we really must set about trying to reform how we treat some of the most vulnerable people in our country. The comments that I've seen and heard from so many people suggest that, generally speaking, Barbados agrees with that. But Barbados is a country where people talk the talk. And after the 9 days, they don't walk the walk. It is ignored. And I just remind you all, most of the people in this country who are in positions of power to make a difference have come from the bottom of this society, just like that young lady. But having reached that status, that power, we sometimes believe that we are in a different class and a different category altogether. And our children don't have to go through that. And this is the price you pay for being a Dodds boy or a Somerville girl. And we forget how this behavior, this attitude, comes back to haunt us. I really hope for change, real and meaningful change in this regard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello, hi, good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing, man?
I'm well, and you?
I'm not too bad at all, actually. I'm glad to hear you this morning, like always. David, I want to, first, before we go there, though, I heard an announcement this morning through the same medium that Adriel Green is the youth station manager. I want to know from you if this is the same Adriel Green that is the spoken word poet.
Well, I think you got your name all messed up. There's no Adriel Green that they referred to. They talked about Anthony Green. Anthony Green has been working in Starcom for quite some years now. And knows the system well. There's no spoken word person.
Okay. But there is a...
It's Anthony Green. Listen, there's an Anthony Green, not Adriel Green, working at the company.
Okay. We get past that. All right. But I'm asking you, since you follow the performing arts, if there is a Adriel Green as well.
Of course, there is.
Good. I just don't want to know if it's the same person. That's all. I get that person wrong, so what?
Mm-hmm. Right? It's a big difference, though.
But it is a difference. And I'm glad that you point out to me that there is a difference. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, good. Let me move on. Why it appeared to me that the protocol for the COVID 19 appear to be shifting about. In other words, the goalposts getting changed in midstream. Case in point. Yes, well, during the week, we hear a fella from a pleasure craft, I don't know if it is a jet ski or not, complaining twice on the station about he cannot take his pleasure craft for a little exercise, you know, in the water. And then he see some person from down in the north, you know, the Platinum Coast, was able to take their pleasure craft for an exercise. And when he questioned it, the people from Platinum Coast said, hey, Platinum Coast, that's the West Coast for those who don't remember, said, hey, we get special permission from the AG. I listened this morning to the AG. The AG is saying, hey, we don't have to give special permission when it is all there for everyone. But I remember well, I remember well that when the protocols was outlined, the Fletchercraft was a no-no. Was a no-no. So why the goalposts getting chased about? You care to engage me?
Well, I think that there are situations here where people make representation to government on the basis of the circumstances that are prevailing at the time. I think it is safe and reasonable to say that in our approach towards COVID, there have been many inconsistencies that people have pointed to. Why one shop, or one that stands out, for instance, is why is it that you may be renting from a landlord who has an operation? You can't open your section, but the landlord can open his or hers and then sell the very things that you would have had in your particular store, you the tenant. So that's another example of it. But there is also that scope for the minister exercising discretion based upon the particular case that has been presented. And we are not in a position really to know exactly what that case was.
But
so until you hear, you will automatically conclude that there is one law for the Medes and one for the Persians.
But David, this is what I'm saying. Now, a plethograph is a plethograph. It should not boil down or come down to personality. Because
this is not about person. But no, I didn't. But I didn't say anything. I did not say anything about personality.
No, but then
you are the person. You are the person introducing personality. I did not.
Because this is how it appears, David.
It appears on what basis?
I come to fight with you because I don't.
No, but at the same
time, I don't fight with old people.
At the same time, let me say to you that I still have to walk between what is reasonable and what is unreasonable. I mean, if you want to go off there on a ledge by yourself, you go. But I'm not following you there.
But we're having a discussion.
We're having a discussion, but I said to you, to me, a lot depends upon the case presented.
I agree.
You say it in the case, it is who presents the case.
Being cross-source with that, David, I totally agree. You understand? Because there always have been, and I agree with the section to the rule. So I ain't got no problem with that. But all I am saying, David, all I am saying is, and let me keep focused to the plethograph. Let me keep focused. Got a plethograph carry an engine. It's not a sailboat. It carries an engine. And you know, if an engine sit down or stand steady for a particular length of time, things would go wrong, and especially around salt water, which is sea, right? So I think it is reasonable for the plethograph people to carry their units on the water for a little exercise in return. Now, if you're doing it for plethograph and all that, for plagiarizing thing, that's a no-no. But I think in order to keep the engines and to keep the mechanisms turning in the way they should turn, I think there's nothing wrong with that. So all I'm saying to you, David, that I believe the same way that the people from Platinum Coast has been given an exception, I think that the ordinary fella that played that particular trade to be able to take out his plethograph and exercise. And the minister, who is the AG, said this morning, I don't know if you hear, that he don't have to give a concession or a directive to that because it's already written down there, it's already embedded in the protocol. But people would remember that was a no-no. You don't remember it, David?
Well, I'm here looking at the last directive that I saw. And the last directive Let me tell you exactly which one it is. It's the official. I hear looking the official gazette, and this directive is supposed to span. I think it goes down right. A curfew is hereby imposed throughout Barbados from the 15th day of March 2021 to the 27th day of March 2021 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 p.m. But this latest one has said on page 3 that notwithstanding subparagraph 1, the following businesses, establishments, and organizations are not permitted to operate at any time. A, bars, B, cinemas, C, gyms, yoga studios, dance studios, dojos and like establishments, nightclubs and discotheques, and pleasure craft operations and private boat charters. So that's what I saw there. Okay.
There we go. So how the minister could come back this morning and said, hey, it is in the protocol, you know, that you could take the thing for an exercise. And that is what confused people, David.
Well,
I'm not calling to beat up on the minister or the government, but I am just calling to highlight what I remember, right? I have a memory like a hawk, right? I remember my last drop. So the truth is, The plethorcraft guy that called this week, I think he was confused, right? And
well, it would be helpful,
yeah,
if we could be told exactly where in this particular protocol it allows for that kind of movement. People will follow what has been said on the basis of the facts that are presented to us. So I've tried my best to look through this protocol, this particular directive, to see where a person is allowed to actually function in that way with a pledge of craft. So I need some guidance on it. If it is in the directive, just tell me where to find it. Because I can't. Well, I read a part of it, so hold on. I read a part of it. It is quite possible that there is a caveat to it somewhere else.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen it, you know.
Oh God. Anyhow, thank you very much for calling.
You're
still doubting your thing. Okay.
All right. Rastaks. This person says operating means delivering a service. There's no misunderstanding to this. So the owners can maintain but not operate. My only question is, where is this explicitly stated that that's what it means? Usually, when you're dealing with these matters, situations such as these are clearly defined. So, I mean, are we in a situation where there can be some confusion in the minds of some? Because remember, it didn't begin with Wesley, because somebody else is attacking Wesley for raising the issue. This did not begin with Wesley. It began with the Pledger Craft operator who called, I think it was on Wednesday, and questioned what he perceived to be the double standard. He did not refer to maintenance. He didn't see maintenance as making that much of a difference from what I heard. But all I'm saying is that from what has been presented, it might have been more useful for us to have this clearly spelled out, that it meant that you don't operate for service. Let me just go back to the wording of it. Let me make sure. You don't operate anything for service, but you have the latitude to actually go for maintenance if that was necessary. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Hi, morning.
Mr. Ellis,
how
much longer we have for the curfew to go on?
I don't know. I can't answer the question.
Oh, I wish it could go on to the end of the year. I was looking at the paper here this morning, and I see... doctor says lockdown cause of increasing mental stress. No. I was born in 1932, and I lived through part of World War II. So I know what lockdown is all about, because on evenings, I think it's around 6 o'clock or so, I might be wrong, because this is years ago, every shop, everybody that cooking outside in the yard, 23-foot pot in the stones, everything had to shut down. And you be inside your house, the shops had to shut down. We didn't have any electric lights down in the country. Everything had to be turned off. My father used to work at Government House. And I think it's Sir Grattan Bush, because we used to make laughing sport and call him Sir Rotten Bush. And my father would say, no, he's not Sir Rotten Bush, he's Sir Grattan Bush. For $5 a month. And he did a butler, you know, white collar and all of that. And the governor was eating his dinner. And they tell him he has to turn off the light, because that time it is fancy light and so in the government house. Not like kerosene oil lamp, like with the people outside. We're using. Next thing, here comes the census. The people come around and they do the census, and each person in the house was numbered. If I am wrong, the people that know more than me can correct me. It was my mother and we three girls. My father was working. He had went to St. Lucia with the governor at the time. And we had the ticket to go to the corn mill in alphabetical order to get half a pint of rice to each person that was in the house. We had a friend of mine asked me, so what used to do for refrigerator? My old people used to corn the pork with salt in the corn jar. And we survived. And to this day, they don't like rice, because that rice is really, really dirty. And they were telling people, some people used to wash it with salt. My mother used to wash it with lime and salt. And all of them, we had to, me and my sister, used to go down to District D police station for the letters after my father went away with the governor. And then that road was long. We lived in Richmond Hall at the time. And we two little girls going from Richmond Hall to District D. And I like to go to District D police station, because they used to got the telephones in the wall and the policeman would be talking to the phone. And the postmistress used to give us lollipops. And we had to eat the brown provision, and we survived it, because now, thank God, I'm 88, and if I live to see this year, I'll be 89. And we had to walk from Richmond Hall to Jackson to get a bus. We had to go to the standpipe and get water. And everything was happy and comfortable. I don't care what nobody says. The other day, I went up there to visit Richmond Hall to show my daughter where I was born. And that place is so peaceful and quiet. I didn't want to come back down to St. Michael. And when they get to Warren to come home, I tell her, here comes Flatbush Avenue with all of the motor cars. Nothing. So I didn't see for the couple of hours that I spent in Richmond Hall up there. The shop next door had to be closed at a certain time, not 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, nothing, so early in the evening. The police walking around, the mounted police walking around, when they look through the window, and they see this big horse, and the police used to be scared. And that is 19, when the war over that day, when the message came through to Miss Dean at Grace Hill School, I was 13 years old. Because we had moved to St. Michael. And everybody complaining. They complain about everything in Barbados. I live here and I love here. I went to the United States and I live. And talking about that lady, that report about the 14-year-old girl, I am with her 100%. Because I did a stint with the Social Service Department of Brooklyn. And you know what happened? The report about this child was coming to, the way how she was coming to school, and she wasn't paying no attention in the class and whatnot, and she was aggressive and thing. And you know something? When the Minnesota Social Service Department investigated that case, the mother, the daughter, and the father were sleeping in the same bed. Case closed.
Okay, but ma'am, you begin by essentially questioning those people who are unable to cope, and you locate this in your own experience years ago and how Barbados was then. And while I appreciate your experience and how you see things, we also have to remember that a lot has changed over the years.
I know. Society, I know that. That's
the society has changed a lot. And therefore, you will find that there are younger people who've never been through anything as tough as what you have experienced. And therefore, they don't know how to cope. And, you know, they could be helped somewhat by having a better appreciation and understanding of where Barbados has come from. But they just lack a lot of that information. Many of these younger people do not have older people around them to reinforce the fact that there were tougher times and that people were able to adjust or had to adjust. And they are kind of adrift. One of the greatest issues that they are facing right now is isolation. Because COVID has created a lot.
Excuse me, but what do you think we're facing them days?
You sound like the typical older Barbadian.
Right, I am. And I enjoy.
But let me finish. You had a lot. Yes, I gave you a lot of time to speak.
Okay.
You sound like the typical Barbadian who is too dismissive of younger people and what they're going through.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I got grandchildren and great grands too.
Right. Well, therefore, you got to be careful that you don't come across as though you're essentially saying, look, I can't figure out what these people could be so upset about and what driving them crazy and that sort of thing, because I went through tougher times than that and I survived it. I did well.
But they're
not going to see life that way. And one of the complaints from younger people is just that you remember on Monday when we had these younger people call the program talking about mental illness and how families reject them when they come and say, well, you know, I'm facing this problem. I can't cope. You see, man, you know, they just dismiss them. And it is quite possible that you run the risk of doing the same thing.
But you know something, Mr. Ellis, communication in families is the tops of everything. If you don't have communication in families, sit down and talk to the children. Take the time. I used to work. Let me tell you something. I started off working at Simwicka's Arms House for $14 a month. Then I went to Dr. Billy's clinic and worked for $3 a night. And I started off at the old Barbados joint for $28 a month. And I had 5 children to cope with. So to really had it easy neither. But
you had a job. They had some people in that period who didn't. They had it rougher than you.
Okay, if you say so. If you say so, $14 a month divided by 4.
Don't worry, they had people who were worse off for sure. The people who had to walk barefoot. People who had the bed had all chinks in it and all sorts of stuff, you know? People who used to get up in the morning and get a cup of coffee and take biscuits and drop the biscuits inside there for cereal. People went through that.
And to survive it, right?
Yeah, but you know, just bear in mind that you gotta be a little bit more patient and tolerant with younger people who don't see life the way that we do. Have not been through the kind of hornpipe, as some people call it, that we would have experienced in our youth. I mean, we remember the days when roads were not paved. Many roads weren't paved. In these tenantries and these gaps and stuff like that, you walk barefoot and you stump your toe. You know, all of that happened. But my children never live like that. Your grandchildren are not living like that. So they're not going to see things the same way. But thanks, nonetheless, for sharing your experience, because out of that, younger people who listen will get a better appreciation of what has happened over the years and what foundation has been laid for them by people like you. Okay? Thank you very much, ma'am.